shows this is, listen, I'm going to say very carefully, okay? Years ago, when the Giants were either in the football, in the playoffs, it's the New York Giants, and or the Super Bowl, I can't remember which one it was, Comcast was having a dispute. I don't know if you remember that, but some people were cutting cable in New Jersey in different communities as part of that dispute, probably workers, they thought, you know, just to get out of spite. And it came in the third quarter of the game, okay? It's a football game. The ruckus that was raised for a football game. Today, the Giants go against the Redskins, right? They go against the Redskins. The Eagles, Redskins. I was hoping. I was trying to change fate. But the Eagles against the Redskins. 7 o'clock this morning, they were tailgating already. On a Sunday morning, people get up. What if there were technical complications and that game couldn't be broadcast? Or there was something happened in the stadium, God forbid, and they couldn't play the game. You would think the world would end. Same thing for New England, and who are they playing? Kansas City. They're playing New England and Taylor Swift. Buffalo, that's right. I'm gonna be very honest with you. Yeah, I don't care. And the reason why I don't care is because we are caught up in the wrong things of the world. That's why I don't care. I mean, I enjoy sports. I played sports. But we are caught up in the wrong things of the world. What would happen if all the cell towers went out today? Young people all over the country would be in the emergency rooms having panic attacks. Would you read this with me? Paul writes to the Christians in Rome, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. That is your true and proper worship. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." There's like 10 sermons in there I can do, but I put this here in preparatory to what's happening in Revelation 17 and 18, but these are commands. These are not options, by the way. This is written in command language. When Paul speaks, he's speaking with the authority of a military general. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world. It's one of the biggest temptations for Christians all over, especially the American church. I almost doubt that people can come into some churches sometimes and tell the difference between us and somebody who doesn't go to church. But this is important. We need to get back to this. The renewing of our mind comes from the transformation from the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And we're going to look at that today. So as we kind of ponder that, I'm going to ask for a couple of people to come up. We'll wait upon you for tithes and offerings. I want to pray for the Samuel family and the Kloon family. Lots to celebrate. You know, to be honest with you, I don't give a hoot what happens in the football games today. Even if the Giants were in it, I wouldn't care. But we got new life in the world. And that's what counts. That's what counts. Let's pray. Our Father, we rejoice in the good news of the birth of Madeline Rose. We thank you everything went well. We thank you that mom and baby and dad are doing fine. We pray for Bobby's parents, for the Clunes, that you would bless them and that this would be a great time of rejoicing. Thank you for new life, for it is a miracle still to this day. Thank you for the new life you give us in Christ, and that is even a bigger miracle. But Father, my prayer is for this young lady to grow up in the fear and the nurture of the Lord Jesus Christ. May you protect her. May you watch over her. May you provide for her physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Would you bless Kristen and Bobby and the new addition to their family? And Father, we give to the work of the church. Help us to do that diligently and voluntarily. Thank you for the opportunity to give. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelation 17 and 18, you can turn there if you have your Bibles today. I'm going to start at verse 5, and I'm not going to hit every detail of this because we don't have time. I will, if you want to come to the Kelsey School, I'll be going into detail up there. But I'm going to highlight this for you because it is so pertinent for today. And the reason why it's pertinent for today is that we live in a world system. And when you say, Pastor, what do you mean by the world system? The world system is what you see out there. And okay, so what's so bad about that? There's a lot of things bad about it. It's because generally speaking, not in all cases, but generally speaking, the world system has no place for God in it. Can I repeat that? The world system has no place for God in it. And as I looked at the Romans passage and contemplate what's going on here in the end times, this is going to be a catastrophic time for the people of earth who are left on the earth during this last half of the tribulation. Why is it going to be catastrophic? Because everything they loved in the world will be destroyed. Everything they loved. I'm not talking about people, even though they will die. But I'm talking about the system of the world. Sports. It's not necessarily bad, but when it becomes an idol, it's bad. The banking system. The political system. The things that provide us with satisfaction because our eyes lust for them. The things that we boast about, our accomplishments, without even saying and regarding what God has done. The world system is controlled by Satan. You may not like to hear it, but it's true. And I'm not a legalist by any stretch of the imagination, but I can tell you this. In the last 3.5 years of the tribulation, which theologians call the Great Tribulation, it's going to be so horrible because everything that men and women love in this world system is going to be taken from them. They're going to cry. Some of them are going to, unfortunately, jump out windows. Some are going to curse God Can you imagine? How can God do this to me? Well, you have ignored him for so many years. You know, listen, I give God so much credit for his patience, because as I look at the American church and I see how people ignore him, even in the church, I see people doing what they want to do even though they know better. I see, you know, people just treating Sundays like, it's just another day in the church. You know, it's true, in our own sinfulness, we don't know what we got until it's gone. Isn't that true? Look at what Jesus says here about the world system. He's talking about the great prostitute that is Babylon, the world system. The system in the world that regards God as irrelevant, not necessary, might be a good thought, but it's not even a good thought. And that system was called by Jesus the great prostitute. You know why? Because it's so seductive. I remember the first time Mary Lou and I went to Atlantic City. We had just become believers, and we booked a trip through Pathmark up in Brick, who sponsored for their employees a trip. And, you know, we had a young baby at the time. Money was not flowing. So they gave us $20 in quarters and a free meal. So I said to Mary Lou, we'll blow the quarters, but I'm keeping a roll for myself. We went down, and I think it was Bally's. I think they were the original ones. How many years ago it was? And I walked into the place, everything was so plastic. Everything was so superficial. Everything was glitz and glamour with no substance to it. And I'm not a gambler, never was a gambler. I worked too hard for my money to gamble it away. But I went over to the back rack table, and I saw in one hand a man lose $18,000. And I said to Mary Lou, this is not for us. So we went on the boardwalk times. There are people who thrive on this. This is the world system. We did fine as a state before the casinos were ever built. And then they promised free education for the locals, relief for the seniors. That money didn't go there. It went into the pockets of the bureaucrats. And if I offend anybody, I'm sorry, but it happens to be the truth. The great prostitute, with everything that's seductive, Vegas has to be one of the places on the face of this earth that offers the glitz and the glamour, and the majority of the people come back from there broke. How good was it? I had a great vacation. I have no money, but I had a great vacation. Yeah, I mean, we get caught up into this. Listen to this. On her forehead, the world system, Babylon the Great, the mother of prostitutes, and the abominations of the earth. That was her name. This is the last part of Revelation, right? I saw that the woman was drunk with the blood of God's holy people. The world system wants to get rid of believers. Wants to cancel them out. Kill them. We see that in the Sudan. We see that in the Middle East. We see that all over the world, and we see it culturally here. The blood of those who bore testimony to Jesus. You know how many good pastors have been forced out of the ministry because they proclaimed the truth? They proclaimed the truth, telling you that the world has nothing to offer you. It's got nothing to offer me. That if our confidence and our trust is not squarely in the personal work of Jesus Christ, we got nothing. Then I saw her. I was greatly astonished. John's talking here. And an angel said to me, why are you astonished? I will explain to you the mystery of the woman and the beast. She rises. The beast is the Antichrist, which has seven heads and seven horns. I won't get into all the symbolism, but just know the beast was powerful. The beast, which you saw once was, now is not, and yet will come out of the abyss. Excuse me, to go to his destruction. Let me explain that, otherwise this will make your head explode, okay? The beast is on the scene in Revelation. Remember, he recovered from a fatal wound. He was dead, and he came alive. But when Jesus comes back again, he's going to throw him into the abyss for a little less than 1,000 years. And he'll come back out of the abyss after the 1,000-year reign of Christ. And people will still follow him. Look at this guy. He refuses to die. Says the inhabitants of the earth, whose names have not been written in the book of life from the creation of the world, will be astonished when they see the beast, because it once was, now is not, and yet will come. Listen, if you're here today and you're a born-again believer, your name was written in the book of life before the world. Excuse me. Before the world was created. That's how much God loves you. That's how much God loves you. That's the only book that counts, by the way. Not the bank book. Not the book you wrote. Nothing. But that book. And he goes on to say, this calls for a mind of wisdom. And wisdom can only come from God. The seven heads of the seven hills on which the woman sits. Now, the resurgence of Babylon during the tribulation, we don't know exactly where that's going to be. We don't know if that's going to be in Rome. We don't know if it's going to be in Europe someplace. We just don't know. If anybody tells you they know, they're lying. But there will be a resurgence of physical Babylon again, too. There are also seven kings. Five have fallen. One is. And the other has yet to come. But when he does come, he will remain there only a little while. This is the story of the beast. Because after the beast is thrown into the abyss for the 1,000 years, he's let loose very briefly after the 1,000 years when Christ is reigning on this earth to wage his final battle. We call that Armageddon. And we know who's going to win. There's going to be no contest. And Jesus is not going to need atomic bombs. He's not going to need any of that stuff. He wins with the word. He wins with the word. And it goes on. The beast who once was and now is not is the eighth king. He'll resurge for a little bit. He belongs to the seven and is going to his destruction. After he's released from the abyss, he'll reign for a short period of time. Jesus says, you're done, and casts him and his cronies into the place the Bible calls hell. He's gone at that point. They will have one purpose and will give power and authority to the beast. This is a conspiracy here. They will wage war against the Lamb. Well, who's the Lamb? Jesus. But the Lamb will triumph over them because he is Lord of lords and King of kings. This is where Handel's Messiah came from. Lord of lords and King of kings. And with him will be his called, chosen, and faithful followers. You know what that means? When Jesus comes back to establish his millennial kingdom on this earth, we're going to be with him. We're going to be with him reigning. I can't even imagine that. We're going to be with him because we're his called, chosen, and faithful followers. Wow, we don't deserve that. It's all because of his incredible grace and love and his holiness. Then the angel said to me, the waters you saw where the prostitute sits are the peoples and the multitudes, the nations and the language. In other words, the prostitute seduced all the kings of the world. She got them into her system. All the kings of the world. You can see this happening now. The grass always looks greener on the other side. I'll promise you this, I'll promise you that. Where Satan is involved, nothing good can come from it. The beast and the ten horns that you saw will hate the prostitute. This is interesting. The scene starts out with the beast riding on, the prostitute riding on the beast, right? This happens all the time where evil's concerned. Those doing the evil eventually hate each other. Even though they have the same desire, they start to hate each other because somebody's got to be in control, right? And they begin to hate each other. It says they will bring ruin to her, the prostitute, the world system, leaving her naked, and they will eat her flesh and burn her with fire. The infighting. If you ever get a chance to read C.S. Lewis's book, the one with Wormwood in it, I forget the name of it. Sorry? Which one? Screwtape Letters. Thank you. Frank gets the gold star. Screwtape Letters. You see this happening now among the demons. They don't trust each other. They're suspicious of each other. They're out to get the other before they get them. There's no security. There is no love, only hatred and the love of power and control. And it's sick. It's sick. The beast will turn on the prostitute, and the prostitute will turn on the beast. For God has put it in their hearts to accomplish his purpose. Should underline that. For God has put it into their hearts to accomplish, not their purpose, his purpose, by agreeing to hand over the beast their royal authority until God's words are fulfilled. The woman you saw is the great city that rules over the kings of the earth, that the Bible calls Babylon. After this, I saw another angel coming down from heaven. He had great authority. And the earth was illuminated by his authority. With a mighty voice, he shouted. Whoop, went backwards. Fallen, fallen is God, is Babylon the Great. She has become a dwelling for demons, a haunt for every impure spirit, a haunt for every unclean bird, a haunt for every unclean and detestable animal. This is announcing from heaven now that Babylon's done. She had a great fall. But recognize who she is. She's the place where demons dwelt. A place for every unclean bird. Unclean bird. If you ride up and down Route 9 sometimes, you'll see these massive turkey vultures. You ever see them? These massive turkey vultures. I mean, I won't want to tangle with one of them because they'll pick you apart, all right? A haunt for every unclean and detestable animal. This is serious stuff, right? For all nations have drunk from the maddening wine of her adulteries. The kings of the earth have committed adultery with her. Who? The great prostitute. The world system, and the merchants of the earth grew rich from her excessive luxuries. Now we're getting into the economics and what drove the economics. Here's what drove the economics and what is driving the economics for the most part now. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. three tools that Satan uses to get us sucked in to the world. I have to ask, when is enough enough? You know, there's nothing wrong with working hard, accumulating wealth, putting that wealth to work for you. Nothing wrong with that. And there's no glory in poverty either. But our problem comes in when we make things idols and they replace God and Jesus. So I have to ask the question, when is enough enough? Well, I need my Corvette. Well, it's a nice car. If you want to spend $90,000 on a piece of fiberglass, it's a nice car. And I need my Porsche. Nice car, too. And, you know, I have to say, when is enough enough? We continually want more. You know why we want more? Because of the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the boastful pride of life. All the kings have drunk from the maddening wine of her adulteries. The kings of the earth committed adultery with her, and the merchants of the earth grew rich from her excessive luxuries. I worry about this today. I really do. I worry about this today. But we're going to see it come to an end in the tribulation. I'm going to leave it there for today, and then we'll pick it up from there next week. Read ahead if you want, because If you want to do some parallel reading, read some accounts of the Great Depression here in this country. When you read some of the accounts of the Great Depression, when people who owned businesses lost everything, especially in New York, they jumped out of windows out of frustration. They lost everything. You know, Janis Joplin, who I happen to like, I mean, she's got a gritty voice, but I happen to like some of her music, but too bad she was so messed up with alcohol and drugs. She died way too early, unfortunately. But Janis Joplin had a song out that said, "Freedom is another word for nothing left to lose." Freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose. We are completely free when we're walking in Christ. We are completely free when we are satisfied with what He provides. If He provides you with a good job, God bless you. If He provides you with wealth and good income, God bless you. Never forget who gave that to you. You know, we have this glorification of the self-made man. Well, if there's anybody here who still buys into the self-made man, let me just caution you, because nothing happens without the approval of God. If you're successful, all the praise should go to Him. It shouldn't be, look what I've accomplished. It should be, look what He's accomplished. Through a faulty servant like me. Faulty. That's all I'll ever be this side of heaven. It's faulty. How about you? I'm going to ask Andrew to cue up the final song. Listen, we all like to enjoy good things. Nothing wrong with that. We all like to enjoy the fruit of our labor. That's biblical. But I want to reiterate what Paul said. Don't get pressed back into the mold of this world. Rather, transform your minds through the Word of God and the Spirit of God. So yet we will do the will of God and prove to the world that His will is the right way. So I'm going to ask, as we come to the last songs, I know it's a favorite of some of you. We need to shout to the Lord. And I'll preface it with this. Shout loud. Shout boldly. we should never be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you stand, please? I pray we leave shouting to the Lord, because in the Lord you are fully loved. You are fully secure in his love. And in him and through him is your identity. You are a child of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you, and we rejoice in the addition to the Clune and Samuel family. Bless them, Father. Help them celebrate this day. And Father, we just ask that you dismiss us in your power, and that everything we do would reflect your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Hey, very good.